You are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay!
Hello, I'm Melissa with Ghost Girl Memoirs.
And I'm Mike with Paranormal Treasure Hunter, and you are listening to Destination Mystery. We believe the paranormal is all around us, and every destination is an adventure. We never know what we're going to find in our adventure, but we do know that we'll have an interesting story to tell when we return. We're not going to the same locations or telling the same stories that you've heard over and over. Most of our destinations will be in locations you've never thought to look or investigate or explore. And we hope you will join us in our journey toward discovering the truth.
Hey, what's up?
Oh my gosh. Technology.
Technology is really hard for Mike. He usually has to get his children involved. I can't hear you very well. What?
We drove by a wreck and my phone switched over to SOS and wouldn't do anything.
Weird.
I couldn't dial. I couldn't send out a text to you. It wouldn't let me do Zoom or nothing.
Because of the wreck?
I don't know.
That's weird.
When I lost you and where the bars are said SOS.
Huh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So we've got Jenny and Michelle.
Hello. Hi.
I'm locked in my bedroom away from my family and I love it.
We got in the car and left the house.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great idea.
We're in a parking lot. That and our internet sucks. So,
So today we're going to do an episode on haunted college houses.
Yes.
So I was actually watching an episode on TV. I think it was The Haunted or something. It's on Netflix. There's several episodes about people who move into their first house away from home and they're going to college and it ends up being haunted. And I was like, I did that. And I know Michael did that. We've actually talked about Michael's house before, but I don't think we've ever talked about the house that I lived in college. I have my EMF going and my
breath.
What did it say?
It said rest.
Counter.
Okay.
That's the first time it's gone off. My Ovilus is going, and I also have my REM pod back here just in case anything spooky happens. So that'd be cool.
Don't tell Chris. He would hate it if it's in your house.
True. I won't tell him. It wasn't the first house that you moved away from or that you lived in, Michael, after you moved out of the house, but it was your college house.
I went from mom's house to Michelle's house. And that was my first official not of the family house. So, yeah, it was. Yeah.
But you also lived in Argentina for a couple of years.
Oh, well, yeah.
But this house in particular, you were going to college and you had roommates and this was an older home and you had some crazy experiences there. Whose house do you want to start with?
I want to hear Jenny's story.
Oh, do you want to hear about the tortillas?
Yes. Okay. So Jenny was my roommate. We moved into a house.
Yeah. So Melissa and Rhonda were gone and I was in the bathroom, no shower. So you had to take a tub bath, which I hated, but so I'm washing my hair and I start hearing all these crazy sounds going on in the kitchen. And I'm like, okay, I know Rhonda's dog is not here. What is going on? So I hurry and finish up my bath. I go out you open up the bathroom door and you're right into the kitchen. The fridge door is wide open. There's a pack of tortillas on the floor and there's four tortillas scattered across the kitchen floor. And I literally could not move. I was frozen solid in the doorway and I'm like, what do I do? This did not just happen. So I get up the courage to move. I pick up everything, throw it in the garbage, the fridge door, slam it shut, run in back into my creepy ass bedroom that's freezing cold all the time. And then I sit down on my bed and I'm trying to process what just happened. And then I realize I've got tears running down my face because it was, I couldn't even process what happened. They finally come home maybe an hour later and I didn't even have the courage to even tell them what happened.
Was there anything on the counter?
Boy.
Oh my God. You just,
boy, it says boy.
History.
Oh my gosh. I have chills. So that house. It's funny it says history because that house, I swear Rhonda told me, was a sub part for the courthouse or something. And they used to have hearings and stuff there.
That kind of rings a bell. I kind of remember that.
So did a little boy do that to terrify me?
I don't know.
I don't remember anything about the counter. I just remember staring at those tortillas on the floor, scattered around, going, okay, maybe the fridge door could have opened on its own. Maybe they could have fallen out, but why are they like feet apart from each other? You remember where the washer and dryer were?
Uh-huh.
There was one clear over there. Yeah.
So the funny thing is that Jenny and I were roommates together and we both had these crazy experiences, but we never talked about it until maybe a year ago.
Yeah. My radio would pop on all the time, like when I wasn't home, or it would do it in the middle of the night. The TV would pop on. People would run around upstairs in that creepy attic. We would hear voices all the time.
Which is an attic there was no access to.
We would hear voices. It sounded like people were arguing. I mean, that house was messed up. The dog would go crazy.
We thought the dog was just psycho, but I think the dog was sensing something that it didn't know how to process.
Yeah.
I remember coming home and the bathroom would just be like, it was like somebody had just destroyed it. And I would blame it on the dog. And we'd be like, that stupid dog, you need to take care of that dog. And she's like, I had him in my room all day. There's no way he got into the bathroom.
Yep. And then we'd blame it on like each other being like, you need to put your stuff away. And no, yeah, it would just be trash, completely trash. And my room was like freezing. I would put so many blankets on my bed. Like, oh man.
Mine was too. It was always cold. Even in the summer, it was freezing cold. And it was one of those it was a really old house. I don't even know what year it was built in. I should have done some research before we did this episode, but it was one of those houses where they would have like all the rooms. So you have the kitchen, living room. It was like a square. Yeah, and in the middle, you have like the furnace. So the furnace is supposed to heat all those rooms. So they're all connected. So my bedroom connected to Jenny's room. Jenny's room connected to like a spare room. And then that spare room connected to Rhonda's room, who was our other roommate. I remember the door from your room to my room opening up in the middle of the night. And I'm thinking, is she getting up to go to the bathroom? And you'd be sound asleep when I looked over.
Yep.
But you would hear it creak open.
Yeah. And so many times my radio coming on and you'd be like, turn it off. What are you doing? And I'm like, I didn't do it. I'm not moving. I'm too scared to get up and turn it off. Go for it.
One thing that Jenny didn't know until I told her just recently was the man who owned that home before we moved in actually died in that house.
It was probably my room.
Probably.
That's why it was so cold.
I wonder if he liked tortillas. Like,
maybe. Well, here's a story that I heard from the owner. He was a large gentleman who couldn't get around and move much. And he was a hermit. And he basically just sat in his house all day. That's all he ever did. And so he had been dead.
Eating tortillas.
He had been dead for a few days before anybody even came to check on him, because they were just so used to him. He was a hermit. He didn't come out of his house.
I'm so glad I didn't know that living there, because I would not have moved in. No way. No way. No how.
But I wonder if like, okay, that was his home. That was his, you know, safe space. Did he just stay there after he died?
Yeah.
Did he raid the fridge looking for something decent? No, that is like, I don't want these stinking tortillas. Yes. I want something good.
Every time I see Mission brand tortillas, I think of that incident. And that was how long ago? Like so long ago. The crazy thing is that I didn't have the courage to even tell you that happened. I probably thought you wouldn't believe me.
I never said anything either, because I wrote it all off as being, okay, the electricity, I mean, the house is old. We're having electrical problems. We always had fuses blowing in that house constantly.
All the time.
And they were the old ones that you, the big, like long, that you have to twist in. And I remember Rhonda and I would keep flashlights by our bed, because we'd have to go out on the porch to the fuse box, find the fuse that blew, and put a new one in.
The creepy porch where we'd hear voices all the time.
The porch was so creepy. We hear voices all the time. The basement, I wouldn't even go down there.
Nope.
I remember one time being locked out of the house and I forgot to bring my key. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go through the basement. And so I went through the basement window and I ran up the stairs as fast as I could so that I didn't have to be down there for very long.
Yeah. I can't believe we survived that place. I wonder who lives there now.
I don't know.
I'd be curious to see if they've had like issues.
It should be torn down. It's so old.
Yeah.
You can't even heat that place. It's
We were home for, I can't remember what we were doing there. And we were going out to the dunes. We drove our Razor out to the dunes. And I purposefully took my kids past that house just to be like, that's the haunted house I lived in.
Do you remember the front door was completely walled off?
Yes.
They walled off the front door.
There was some weird stuff. Yeah. Why did they do that?
Do you remember hearing, I swear it was around Halloween time and we heard knocks on that front door,
yes.
But it wasn't even there.
There was always knocks coming from that door.
There was no door there.
We had the couch over there.
Yeah.
And you'd hear knocks. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe we had the same experiences and never talked about it.
Well, it's because we were raised thinking if we talk about it, then we're going to invite it in.
It's going to make it worse.
And it's going to make it worse. So we just kind of shrugged it off.
Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Michael, tell us about your house.
Me and Mark and some other friends moved into one of our neighbors' aunt's house.
I actually was in once.
You were in that house?
Yeah, I remember going to that house.
We went there. Yes. Actually, yeah. We went there one time for a party, Jenny. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, so we've been there twice.
We played cards and ate pizza.
Yes, I remember being creeped out and this is a creepy house.
Yeah.
You thought it was creepy?
I did. I remember thinking it just felt weird. So
after we moved in, we learned that the aunt that lived there before us, the Blackfoot, the sane asylum people came and got her and hauled her off because she was crazy, supposedly. She kept saying that there were men who lived in the basement in black suits and they were after her. And we just thought she was crazy.
Did these guys in black suits happen to have hats?
I don't remember, possibly.
Because Jenny and I were just talking about the shadow figure phenomenon. Okay, but go ahead. Go ahead.
No, nobody would take the basement. So I'm the one who got the basement. So I slept down there. And one night I remember trying to fall asleep and something got my attention. And there was no lights on down there, but the light from upstairs was kind of coming down through the stairwell. And I remember something drew my attention to the stairwell and there was a black, shadowy, blurry figure coming down the stairs towards me. And I kind of froze there and it continued walking down the stairs and coming towards me. I don't remember what happened after that, but I also remember when we moved in, there were so many hobo spiders in that house that we ended up with a shot back, just sucking them up like they're little bits of gravel, hundreds and hundreds of them.
Oh.
We probably killed 10 a day in there.
That itself is terrifying.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. And then Melissa and I interviewed some guy and he was telling us a very similar story about all the spiders and the hairy black, not furry, but fuzzy shape in his house. What was that, John?
Michelle? It was John. Melissa? Yeah, it was John.
It was an eerily similar story to the one I had. And then another time, one of my friends, she was typing my report for me on the computer. And I was laying on the bed because I'd worked nights and I was kind of tired. So I was laying on Shane's bed and she was typing. And I remember something sitting on the bed next to me and it kind of rolled me over. And I thought it was her, but then I could still hear her typing. So I looked up or opened my eyes and looked over. And you could see an impression of somebody sitting on the bed. I couldn't see anybody, but I could see the impression of somebody sitting on the edge of the bed. It was enough that it rolled me over. When it got up and left, it rolled me back and the impression was gone. And it was very deep and pronounced. You could see a butt.
I would have ran so fast.
Well, I'm glad it was Shane's room, not mine.
Oh, that is
his room was upstairs, right?
Yeah.
Remember when we were engaged? The telephone.
Can you tell that one?
Yeah, Michelle, tell the telephone story.
So Mike and I had just gotten engaged and I live 2-3 miles away from this house in my own little place by myself. And he had gotten home from work and called me and we were talking on the phone and you could hear the other phone pick up. It was a landline. Should clarify that. There was one downstairs.
Back in the day when there wasn't cell phones, FYI.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we heard the other line get picked up. And I said, "Who's home with you?" And Mike's like, "I'm home by myself." And he was upstairs. So someone picked up the line downstairs in the basement. I was like, "Someone picked up the line." And we're both like, "Hey, who is it? Who's here?" You know, and you could hear breathing and no answer. And I told Mike, I said, you get out of the house right now. I'm coming to pick you up. You are coming over here now. You are not staying in that house by yourself.
How long did you guys live there?
A couple of years.
Oh my gosh.
But I decided to go downstairs and see who was down there. The phone was in Shane's room. So I came around the corner and I hear the back door open. And so I go to all the doorways were open from my room out the door. I never heard running or footsteps or anything like that. But the door opened and somebody left. They had to have been running to beat me, but I never heard that. So,
okay,
that place is pretty creepy.
Sorry, my
dog. No tortillas on the floor.
No tortillas.
I'm a little disappointed in that.
You could have made a burrito while you were investigating. Yeah.
Burrito.
You know, a little snack on my way down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember any other weird things happening when you were there?
It always felt like there was something there. You know how I always feel stuff?
Yeah.
Michelle's hated the basement.
Very in tune with things. She's pretty spot on. So, yes.
I never got a good night's sleep there ever.
Really?
There was, when you came down to the basement to Mike's room, his room was like right at the base of the stairs. It looked right up the stairway. But just to the side of the stairs, there was another room.
That's where the guys lived in the suits.
That room had the creepiest vibe coming
from it. Oh, it was awful.
I never went in it. I don't know if it was like a storage room or whatever.
It was so full of stuff, you couldn't go in there.
But it always had such a, just a creepy vibe that I hated going down there.
I swear somebody lived there that we didn't know about.
Oh, a person in the walls.
Nobody creepy. Once went in that room. So they could have lived in there and we wouldn't know. Nobody went in that room.
What's your theory on the men that she said, that the aunt said were driving her crazy?
Well, I didn't give it any thought until after the guy came down the stairs. So there was something in the house. Something terrible happened there. I have no idea what it was, but it sat vacant for years after they hauled her off and nothing had been touched. Food was still on the table.
Are you
plates were still on the table.
When you moved in, there was still stuff?
Yeah. Her stuff was left exactly the way it was when she was hauled out of there with the police. So
same with the house that Jenny spiders. And I went to. Rhonda and I cleared it all out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we cleared everything out. We scrubbed the walls. You know that room next to Rhonda's?
Mm-hmm.
Half of that was his crap.
That was probably him that was messing with the fridge. He was
probably going through his stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know how the porch had so much crap? We cleared out half of that, but there were boxes and boxes of stuff that were like, should we get rid of it? Like, what do we do with this? We don't know what to do with this.
Man, think of all the nights that like I would be there alone and stuff. And then to think about that, oh my gosh, she was probably just sitting there watching.
I never went into that house without feeling somebody was watching me.
Didn't you always hate
felt that way?
Wasn't the bathroom the worst?
The bathroom was the worst. Yes.
Yeah. I always felt that way in the bathroom. I hated the bathroom.
I did too.
Like sometimes just wait and go and shower at my mom's house.
Now I'm creeped out. Like, was he watching us in the bathroom?
Yes. Throwing tortillas at me.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, to hear somebody walking around in the attic when there was no way of even accessing the attic.
Well, and then sometimes it was like running.
Yeah.
It was.
They could access it from the outside.
Maybe.
People
in that door that was closed off.
Oh my gosh. I had totally forgotten about the knocking on the door thing. You'd be sitting there on the couch or walking by it and knock, knock, knock.
And we would be like, what the heck? There's neighborhood kids tricking us. And we'd run out there and there would be nobody there.
It's so funny because I can remember a specific Lifetime movie I was watching and hearing knocking while I was watching it. I remember the exact movie because it was so scary and thinking, just turn it up. Just don't pay attention to it. Just ignore it. It's not happening. It's all in your head.
I mean, I know this house that we were living in most likely was the gentleman that lived there before because that was his safe space. But as far as Michael, like the people.
This seems a little more dark.
Yes. I mean, ours wasn't necessarily like evil or dark, just creepy.
Yeah.
My understanding is she wasn't crazy when she moved in, but I don't know.
It drove her that way.
Do you think if you just...
Well, we all left for that same reason.
Do you think if you just lived there longer that the same thing would have happened to you guys?
I don't know. I've wondered that.
You did you have one roommate.
I was going to say, I think it pushed him over the edge.
He wasn't really that way before.
That's one thing that obviously, you know, the friend I'm talking about that has wondered what drove him to that. I'm wondering if it affected him.
I wonder that. The thing is that the more I investigate the paranormal, the more questions I have. And the way that I saw the world before, it changes every time I do an investigation or every time I do an interview with somebody. But what if these entities are so evil that they can take over or manipulate somebody who isn't quite as strong?
And it sounds like
preys on their weaknesses.
Yeah. Possibly he was struggling really badly prior to that. And when you're struggling with something and then you're being affected by something, it can affect you even more. Or he was just struggling because nobody knew what he was dealing with at the time. And then if you're being affected by something negative in that way, it can push you in an even worse direction. I don't know. It makes me wonder because he did like a 180, you know?
He did. Do you feel that way too, Mike? Do you think he changed in that house?
He did change in that house, but he'd lived at home before. Now he's on his own. Very easily it could have been influenced.
Michael and I kind of grew up around this stuff. Yeah. So for us, it was a part of life. We understood that there's life after death. There are evil spirits and there are good spirits. But
I dug graves in the graveyard at night, so that didn't really faze me all that much, to be honest.
And that's creepy. Sorry. Well, I mean, I had experiences in my grandma's house. So, I mean,
tell us about that.
Old, old house, super old. When we were little, we would always see when the door was open, you would see a tall man in a trench coat, all black with a hat on. And all of us grandkids saw it. We all talked about it. Every one of us had seen it. But when we got a little bit older, we were going upstairs and she had the lights that they were in the center of the room. You had to pull a string to turn it on. And my sister and I went into one. I swear we were stupid for Christmas presents. I think that's what we were doing because they hit him over there all the time. And we were looking for the light switch and we were filling the walls and we didn't realize it was in the center of the room and you had to pull a chain. And all of a sudden we hear clink, 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 and then click and the light goes on. And we look at and the chain is swinging on the light thing. So we ran downstairs scared to death. We tell my grandma what happened. She goes, oh, it was the man with the hat. And then she went back to like cooking or doing whatever, like whatever, no big, just that's what it was. It was a man with a hat. He turned it on for you.
And that was kind of like my uncle who was the mortician. We'd be like, there's footsteps downstairs or there's, you know, and he'd be like, yeah, it's just so-and-so. Yeah. Their body's down there visiting. So it was like, yeah, no big deal. It's just part of our day-to-day.
Being at my grandma's, like TV would pop on and off. When you went to grandma's house, you were going to have an experience every time. Every time.
Yeah. My very first notable that I remember paranormal experience that I know for sure was a paranormal experience happened at my grandma's house.
Really?
I don't know if I ever told you, Jenny, I've said this on the podcast before, but I was riding bikes with my brother, Steve, around my grandma's house. Mm-hmm. And I was probably 9-ish years old. And my mom used to blow this horn. It was like a bike horn out the back door when it's time for us to come home for dinner. So I hear the door or the horn. And I was like, oh, you know, Stephen was in front of me riding his bike. I remember following him around the side of my grandma's house. And I see this little boy peek out from the side of the house. And I'm thinking that's Steve. And I'm like, Steve, we got to go home. Mom just blew the horn. So I rush around to the side of the house. And this was seconds, not, you know, just a few seconds. Nobody was there. Stephen was already at the driveway to our house.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like we lived in a neighborhood where there was a bunch of little kids.
Yeah.
We were the only kids. We were farming community out in the middle of nowhere. And I remember specifically this little boy. He was little, like maybe 5-4 years old-ish. He had a hat on. He had suspenders on. I don't know who it was.
What kind of hat was it?
Just a ball cap.
Like a baseball cap?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
What?
It wasn't like a derby type hat.
What is a derby hat?
It doesn't have that brim like a baseball hat. No, this one had an old-time hat.
No, this one had a brim.
Because Grandpa has a relative, a boy, buried up there on the hill.
I didn't even know that.
His grave is up on, you remember that little house up by the canal?
Yes.
There is a grave up there with a little boy in it.
Are you serious? I did not. This is the first I've ever heard of that, Michael.
I just know that I've went up there and tried to find the headstone, and I found a couple of rocks that could have been it, but
isn't it by the old tree?
It's under the tree.
We used to play out there all the time where that old house used to be in the back of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Under that tree.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was a little boy.
Years down the road, here I am, a mom now. I remember taking a photo of Curtis. There's a picture that I have of Curtis in a little baseball cap and little suspenders. And I was like, that's what I saw. Wow. I don't know. I still remember clear as day, like it happened yesterday.
That's crazy.
That's how vivid it was to me. And I know I do have an active imagination. I had an active imagination when I was a kid, but this was different.
No, I believe you 100% because I would never have ever thought I never wanted to see ghosts. I'd scare me to death. But then after my stroke and coding and dying, and my grandma was there. I've told you that. I saw her. I don't know if you knew this, but I had a stroke and I almost died. I was coding and I couldn't move. They put a tube down my throat, but I was aware of what was going on. I just couldn't move or talk. And they were rushing me down the hallway at the hospital. And it was apparently nighttime, but I thought it was day because they pulled me down this hallway where there's all these windows. Apparently it was 7 o'clock at night, but I thought it was day because all this warm light starts to come through the windows. And I was like, at least I can feel the warm light, because if this is my last few minutes on earth, I this feels good. And then all of a sudden my grandma Burba's there and she's in this pink dress with dark pink polka dots. That's like silk. And she grabs my hand and she looks at me and she smiles. And then the next thing I remember, I'm waking up in ICU with a tube down my throat and they had taken the clot out of my brain. So I'm like, I probably hallucinated it. So months later, I'm telling my mom this story and she's like, that's a dress she wore all the time. And I'm like, whatever. No. So then she gets a picture out and shows me a picture. And I'm like, that's the dress she was wearing when she grabbed my hair. Wow.
And you had never seen that before?
Never in my life had seen that dress.
Gosh.
It was pale pink silk with dark pink polka dots all over it. And it had like a high ruffly neck on it. And she just looked at me. She had red lipstick on and her hair was the same. And she just grabbed my hand and smiled. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. They're going to fix this. Because at that point, the stroke was happening in my brain. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't talk, but I could still, they call it trapped syndrome, where you're trapped in your body. You know what's going on, but you can't communicate. And they were rushing me down to take the clot out of my brain. And I told John, I'm like, it happened in the daytime because I felt the sunlight. And he's like, it was dark as hell outside. And I'm like, but I felt heat. I felt warmth. I felt sun. I felt light. They were bagging me. They were coding me at the time. I had the bag on my face. And I remember we had to start compressions. I remember hearing that. And then I just saw my grandma. She was there.
But you weren't seeing that? You could hear it, but you couldn't see it, right?
Hear it? No, I saw all the people rushing me down the hallway. And I remember Christopher saying, I want to go with my mom. I want to go with my mom. And John's like, stay here. And then I just down the hallway, and then the light, it felt so warm and grandma was there. And I still felt I remember every time the girl pushed the bag, I'm like, oh, breath. Cause I couldn't breathe. I could feel her push that bag. It just felt so good to have breath in my lungs. And then I just remember looking at my grandma and I could see all the people around me and everything. And then I woke up in the ICU. I thought I hallucinated it.
Wow.
Isn't that some of the best,
the
best evidence that we have that life exists beyond?
So I thought for a year I kept that to myself. I never told anyone. And then my mom, how would I know that dress existed? Because I was a little kid when she wore it. I was like 4 or 5. Yeah.
So how old was your grandma that when you saw her, when she came to you? Did she look older, younger?
She looked just like I remembered her.
You remember her.
Probably when I would see her as a kid. So probably in her 50s. How I remember her as a little kid. Like just happy and wonderful, and her hair the same, how she would get it done at the beauty parlor, the pink Mary Kay lipstick she wore, her pink nails, everything. Just how I remember her as a kid. Yeah, that's how she looked.
And she came to you that way because it comforted you and you knew who she was.
Yeah. And I felt her hand. Like, I'm not even kidding you. She grabbed my hand. My grandma would be an angel. She was like the most perfect person in the world. Loved
she was.
Yeah, she was.
One of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm. I saw my Uncle Randy too, though.
Oh yeah. Tell us about that one.
Grandpa Ken was in the hospital. And I had to go get some medical records for him at the University of Utah. And I got kind of lost because I went through the back entrance because I was working at Primary Children's at the time. And I took care of Uncle Randy when he was dying of leukemia up at the hospital. I would go up there after work and help take care of him. And he was just my favorite person. I was lost trying to find this medical record place. And I looked up and I saw him standing there in his West Yellowstone mechanics uniform. And he looked up at me and he smiled. It was a split second. I'm not kidding you. A split second. And I'm like, holy shit, that's my Uncle Randy. What's going on? And then he was gone. And then I look up and it was the bone marrow transplant unit that I was at.
Is that where he was?
He went from there to an apartment by the U and then he died there. But that's where I would visit him all the time and take him like movies and candy and food and Christmas stuff. But he looked at me and smiled. It caught me so off guard. I spent like so much time up there.
Do you think he was just saying, hey, I'm still here?
I think he was just saying hi. We bonded really, really closely when he was there dying.
And, maybe that was his way of saying thank you.
It could have been. I've always said I don't ever want to see a ghost. It'll scare me, but I guess I've seen a couple and it didn't scare me. So
there you go. Michael and I are saying that all the time, all the time. Yeah. Michelle, you had some negative experiences growing up in your home.
Yeah.
You want to talk about those?
Haunted? Well, it never really seemed haunted. We didn't have things move. It's hard to explain. My mom worked nights as a nurse.
Okay.
So my sister and I were left home alone at night. This is back in the good old days when CPS wasn't called on everything. I was around 5 when we bought this house and moved out of my grandparents' house. And so my sister was like 9 and my mom went to work at 10 o'clock at night and came home at 7 in the morning. So she'd put us to bed and she'd go to work. I don't consider myself a chicken, but there on multiple times, I would go to bed and I would slip off the light and like literally jump across the room and land in my bed and I wouldn't get out because I would see there was a dark figure, bulky dark figure that would sit at my doorway. And you know, it's that black on black.
Yeah.
There was no lights, but you could still see it. And it would sit there and I would just be like, it's not there. It's not there. Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. I found out talking to my uncle just a couple months ago that at one point my sister was actually attacked at night.
Really?
By something. Yeah. It held her in her bed. She told my grandpa and my uncle and they came and they blessed the house. And my uncle said when they left, they passed this young man. He said it must have been in their like 20s, early 20s. And he said, and he was just dark, just inky black hair, black clothes. Ugh. And when he passed him, he made eye contact with him. And he said it was just pure evil. And after they did that, I didn't have any more experiences in that house.
Do you know the history on that house at all?
I don't. I know it was down in Blackfoot, where it was all the cookie cutter houses that were built in the 70s for like the INL. And there's like 2 blocks of houses that they are all identical.
Hmm.
Same floor plans, everything. So they were just these, I want to call them like row houses that were built for the workers at the INEL and stuff. But I don't know the back history of it. I just kind of ignored it. And I didn't hear about the experience that my sister had. And I don't even remember my grandpa and uncle coming to do that until, you know, recently. Then it kind of clicked. I'm like, well, around that time's when it stopped. I didn't have those experiences anymore.
So do we got time for the cabin, haunted cabin?
Absolutely.
Have we talked about this before?
I don't think so.
Oh yeah, my cabin was haunted.
Tell us about that.
So my dad bought this old cabin up in Island Park and had remodeled it and everything. And that's actually where he passed away. He died up there in the cabin. After he passed away and I inherited it, we had so many experiences. It was just freaky. He owned it for at least 5-6 years before he passed away and no issues. The night he passed away, my uncle and grandmother were with him and the mortician had already come and gotten him and my uncle stayed in the cabin to make sure everything was closed up and stuff. And bats got into the cabin and, you know, dive bombed him and stuff. And he killed him and got him out of the cabin. And he was like, I know it was your dad. He was just after me. We all laughed at him because it was crazy Uncle Jerry. you know, the week later we had the funeral and everything. And we went back to the funeral home afterwards and Jerry was with us and we're outside talking and he got dive bombed by two more bats.
Oh.
And you should have seen him. He jumped and he's cussing my dad. He's like, just leave me alone already. So we thought it was just hilarious. I'd have, you know, obviously I have a cabin, so I'm going to use it. I'd have my college roommates come up. We'd go play and stuff. I had family reunions up there. And at one point I had my grandparents and my aunt and uncle come up and stay with us. My aunt was upstairs by herself and she came just tearing down the stairs. And she was like, no, 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 no. I was like, what's going on? She goes, I was up there fixing my hair and something told me to get out. I said, get out now. And then my grandpa, I was downstairs, last one down there one night, and he came out of his bedroom down there and he came out to me and he's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, just tending the fire, not going to bed till it's down, you know? And he's like, okay, someone came and got me. So I wanted to make sure you were okay.
You're like,
and I thought, oh, okay, I'm fine. I know. And that's just what he left it as. And, you know, went to the bathroom, went back to bed. I was like, all right. I never had any bad issues, but on occasion I'd be like, I would feel like someone else was there in the cabin with me. I would come down the stairs because the master bedroom was upstairs and that's where Mike and I would stay and everything. I would come downstairs and I would constantly feel like someone was coming down the stairs with me. I always felt escorted around that cabin, that someone was always right next to me.
Every time we stayed there, it would be just us upstairs. We would hear people walking downstairs, doors shutting, drawers opening. Every time we were there, Chris and I stayed there once and we shouldn't have been watching a scary movie, but we were. And I went outside to get something out of the car and something hits me in the back of the head. And I look down and it's a chunk of wood about the size of a paper plate, but it's thin. So yeah. Chris, you rotten bugger. And he wasn't outside. And I went in the house and he'd gone upstairs. So the movie had something to do with that. Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but that whole night, I think we both slept with a knife by our bed.
That is really creepy though. Okay. My interaction with ghosts and spirits has been very positive. So I don't want anything negative.
And it most likely will stay that way, Jenny.
Most likely or will.
You are stronger than they are.
I know.
You have a body they do not. I have one more story, and I've told it before. I don't know if I've told you, Jen, but it was about my grandma, because you told a story about your grandma.
Yeah, let's hear.
I remember being in second grade, and I had the worst ear infection of my life. It hurt so bad. And my mom had given me Tylenol. She gave me ibuprofen. She'd been putting heat packs on it. Nothing was helping. And so finally, she's like, we'll say a prayer. I don't know what else to do. So she says a prayer. I finally fall asleep early in the morning. And I remember waking up to my grandma sitting on the foot of my bed. Grandma Jensen. And she said, everything's going to be okay. I remember her putting her hand on my ear. I felt the warmth of it.
Oh, I love grandmas.
It felt better. And then anyway, like I didn't really think much of it. I thought it was just a dream or whatever. And I woke up the next morning thinking it was just a dream. The phone rang. And my aunt had called my mom to tell her my grandma passed away that night.
Oh my.
That's crazy. How old were you?
I know I was in the second grade.
Wow.
You know, I didn't know my grandma Jensen very well. We'd only actually ever visited her maybe two or three times. But my mom always told me that I acted a lot like her.
So this is your mom's?
My mom's mom, yeah. Yes.
Did she look old or young or the way you remember her?
The way I remember her, she had her gray hair, curly gray hair, and she was in a moo-moo. Something?
In a moo-moo, yeah, I was going to say that.
See, this is that's so similar to my story. They come to you how you want to see them, I think.
Yeah,
that's why
you remember them. Because if she came to me in a different way, I wouldn't know who she was. I wouldn't
know her. That's why Randy was in his, when I saw him, he was in his Yellowstone Mechanics outfit, because that's how I always saw him.
Yeah.
And isn't it crazy how you... like you'd think you'd be scared, but you're not.
I thought I was dreaming at the time.
Yeah, that's how I was with my stroke. I thought I hallucinated the whole thing.
But my mom, we talked about it for years. She remembers that whole incident. She's positive that my grandma came to see us before she moved on.
Guarantee.
And she could see that I was struggling and she helped out.
That's what grandmas do.
Yep.
When I move on, I'm going to like stay and torment my husband.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm never leaving.
I almost hope I go first so that I can haunt the shit out of him because he's so easy to scare.
I want to haunt Chris too, to be honest.
So when we were in Vegas, we went to that Zach Biggins Museum.
Oh my gosh.
And I loved hanging out with Chris because he was so scared the whole time. It was the best. I think I had more fun with him.
Oh yeah.
Chris is freaking out. Museum in general.
Jenny, we have to tell him, and I don't know if I remember if I told you, Mike, but we were in the Dr. Kevorkian room.
Oh yes.
I had my spirit box going. What happened, Jen?
It said Kevorkian like two times.
I said, who's here?
Kevorkian.
Oh, really? Kevorkian.
Even John, my husband was like, we're not going to get anything. And then it said Kevorkian. And he was like, okay, I'm out.
Chris freaked out.
John and Melissa were down in the basement because I wouldn't go down there. And Chris and I went into the Ed Gein room that had the big cauldron in it. There was another kid in there that had a spirit box. And Chris and I were just kind of walking around and I was just being stupid. And I'm like, so do you regret what you did? Do you regret doing all those things? And it goes, bitch. And I said, what did you say? And it goes, shut up, bitch. Wow. And Chris and I ran out of the room. And I said, I'm not saying another word while I'm in here. Yeah, it did not like it. It scared me. And Chris was like, see, this is why you can't do that. Don't antagonize. He was so dead serious.
But Jenny continued to antagonize because when we were in the room with Ted Bundy, we're standing right next to his stuff. And she was mentioning about how she's like, you are such a piece of shit. You know?
Yeah, I was not being. Yeah.
And across the spirit box, it said, don't piss me off.
It did.
Wow.
I'm lucky I'm alive right now.
But didn't Zach warn us not to antagonize this?
He said, don't antagonize it. But he does it all the time.
I know.
You guys know the Annabelle room, the little doll?
Uh-huh. Yes.
They have a spirit box running in there. When we went in, you know, I said, hi. It said, hi, back. I said, hi, stay and play.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And I was like, no, we got to go. Yeah, we're with the door. They won't let us stay here. And it said goodbye too.
Oh, wow. That museum is no joke.
It's definitely got some activity for sure.
Definitely.
Don't antagonize the serial killers because they'll pop you out. And my husband put Melissa in the center of the pentagram.
Oh my gosh. He was trying to make me sit down in the center of the pentagram with all the lights off.
No way. Oh, that's freaky. Up
and set her in the center of it.
I was like, I'll do it, but I'm keeping my flashlight. And he was trying to take it away from me. And I'm like, no. All right, kids, it's been an hour and it's been a lot of fun.
This was so fun. Let's do it again soon.
Let's do it.
Next time we'll have my hubby on and he'll talk about his haunted house stuff.
Absolutely.
Like crazy stuff we've done.
Awesome.
Cool. Oh, and happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Go do something fun. If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. For more information, you can visit www.destination-mystery.com. Find your own destination.
And solve the mystery.